Every one of them will be thrown down. Teacher, they asked, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are about to take place? He replied, watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life. Te rongapai tēnā āti karaiti. This is the gospel of Christ.
Hello. Ooh, that's a bit loud. Yep. G'day. Thank you. Whoops. There you go. You can have that one as well. Kia ora. It's good to be here. What a great reading, eh? Isn't the lectionary great? So the lectionary is that thing that gives us our readings throughout the year, and the idea behind the lectionary is that you don't get to just pick your favourite verses from the Bible and ignore the rest. You actually have to grapple with some pretty hard texts throughout the year, as well as some nice and easy, some of our golden oldie favourites. So this morning, whose favourite scripture is this? And by the way, women's rugby. Come on, so good. Blah, 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 blah. Hello, sir. Good to see you at the back there. So we've got this great passage, and it's all about the end times. The end times, the end of the world. How many predictions of the date of the end of the world, I wonder, have you heard of in your lifetime? Quite a few? More than one? Hands up if it's more than one. Hands up if you've heard more than two. More than three? More than four? And how many of those dates are in the past? Stick up your hand if those, some of the, yeah. So what happened after that day? I remember there being a big one, I think it was 2011, and everyone was like, and it was on social media, and people were thinking it was something, this one was something to do with the Mayan calendar and blah, blah, blah. You remember that one? Yeah, hands up if you remember that one. Yeah. And so quite a few people were quite worried, and, yeah, you know, some young folk were really quite disturbed and thinking that, I can't remember what day it was, the 11th of May or whatever, and it ticked over and went, thankfully. Others have been predicted by Christians. I just read about a really sad one just a few years back. This is in the BBC News section, and it's about a guy called Harold Camping predicted, and he declared that Saturday would be Judgment Day. This is, and it didn't happen. But then there were all these people that had followed him, and they were really disappointed. And they were trying to make sense of this failed prophecy, you know, this failed idea of prediction, that Jesus hadn't come back and this day had come and gone. And some of them said, well, maybe God's testing us. They were bewildered. Robert Fitzpatrick, a retired transportation agency worker in New York, said he had spent more than $140,000 of his savings on advertisements in the run-up to the 21st of May, which was the day that Jesus was going to come back, to publicize the prediction. And after 6 o'clock passed and nothing had happened, he said, I do not understand why. I do not understand why nothing has happened. I can't tell you what I feel right now. Obviously, I haven't understood it correctly because we're still here. Other followers said they had their doubts about the prediction. I had some skepticism, but I was trying to push the skepticism away because I believe in God, said Keith Bauer, who traveled 3,000 miles from Maryland to California, where Mr. Camping's family radio is based, for the rapture. I was hoping for it because I think heaven would be a lot better than this earth, said Mr. Bauer, a tractor-trailer driver who took the week off work for the voyage to make that trek. Isn't that sad? I tell you what, I just felt really sad. Sometimes I think these things, are, you know, they can be funny as well, you know, but that one just made me feel sad. I just felt sad for that poor guy, for those poor people who put all that time and effort into something, you know, and it didn't come to pass, and yeah, it's sad. It's nothing new, though, is it? People have been predicting the second coming of Jesus and saying they know the date since Jesus was around, you know, and I was looking back over some records of predictions that have come and passed. In the 16th century, there were four well-known ones. One was the 20th of February, 1524. No, that's kind of gone, hasn't it? In the 17th century, there were more. In the 18th century, there were a whole bunch, including Henry Archer, who calculated 335 years, from the end of the reign of Julian the Apostate, who was emperors. And he was uncertain on the dates of his reign, but he took 1,335 days in Daniel 12:12. So Daniel 12:12 is a sort of text that talks about the end times, and so he took them as years and calculated the date as 1700. And a whole load of people believed that Jesus would come back in the year 1700. But that's quite a few years ago now. In the 19th century, there were another bunch. I won't go into them, but there's this poor old woman who thought she was going to be pregnant with Jesus on the 25th of December, 1814. And it was a big deal, you know, but obviously she wasn't. It didn't happen. She was, in fact, 64 years old. And really, really sadly, she died on that day. Bless her. We heard about Armstrong. I just mentioned him in the Radio Church of God. He actually changed the prediction quite a few times. You know, it was 1935, then 1943, then 1972, and 1975. I was quite surprised that anyone was still kind of following him after that many failed predictions. But anyway, there you go. But isn't it amazing that people do this, that they still do it, when it's so plain in the New Testament? Jesus says, no one will know the day or the hour. So who are these people? Who are we to think we can predict the day and the hour? Jesus said, no one, not even the angels in heaven or the Father, only the Father will know. That's Matthew 11:36. And if you read in Mark as well, it says the same thing, Mark 13:32. About that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. And Jesus again, you know, in Acts 1, verse 7, he says to the disciples, just before he goes, and ascends to his Father in heaven, he says to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs, you know, ages, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. So what's the end times all about then? If we can't predict the date, and we can't, Jesus has been really, really, you know, upfront about that, really clear. Then what is this end times business about? Because it is true, again and again in the Bible, we hear that Jesus will return. Jesus will come back. We won't know when. And when he returns, heaven and earth will be united. And all the disruptions and all the difficulties and all the tears will be wiped from our eyes and everything will be put right. And if he's slow, the Bible says, if he's slow in coming and returning, it's because of his mercy. It's because of his kindness. And the kindness of God leads us to repentance. It's to give us chance to amend our lives. He's merciful and good, but we don't know when he's coming. Now, these roadmaps, these times and epochs that some people, despite what Jesus says, you know, people do have roadmaps, don't they? And many of us will have read books or watched things on the internet or whatever, or seen things on TV that map out the end times for us, you know. So we've got kind of human history and it comes along and then Jesus comes, he's born, he lives for roughly 30 years and then dies on a cross, goes to heaven, the Spirit is poured out, there's the age of the church, and then after some time, there's the end times, and there's all these different theories, you know, maybe the millennium happens first, maybe it happens afterwards, you know, then different people argue, and you can read 6 different books, as Bruce was just saying, and you'll get 6 different answers. You can read a lot more than 6, actually, and you'll get a lot more different answers, and people argue about, you know, what these times and epochs that the Father says we won't know are exactly in great detail. Has anyone heard about, you know, things in the book of Revelation? And you get those scorpions, you know, with the sting in their tail. There was a prediction at one point that a theory that they represented a particular type of German vehicle in the Second World War because it had this, you know, it fired out a cannon from the back and that was like the, you know. People have had incredible ideas about what all these things mean. But one thing we're certain of is that Jesus was born as one of us, as we're going to celebrate very soon at Christmas time, that he lived amongst us. He served, he loved people. He was good, the good shepherd. He lived for us and he died for us. And he rose again for us and conquered death. Beat the power of death, broke its power, that he is seated at the right hand of the Father, that he's poured out the Holy Spirit on us, his people, to empower us to live lives like him and for him, and that he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead and to bring his kingdom in all its fullness. We know that. Don't know the day or the hour. Don't let anyone trick you because they think they know the day or the hour. They don't, bless them. But let me just say one other thing about this idea of time going like that. And when is the end times? Because when are the end times? When's all this wars and rumors of wars and plagues and pests? Have we had any kind of plague recently or pestilence? Have we heard any wars or rumors of wars? What about 100 years ago? Were there any wars or rumors of wars? Were there any plagues or pestilences? Were there earthquakes 100 years ago? What about 500 years ago? Were there any wars then? Rumors of wars, plagues, pestilences? Okay, so I get the idea. But what's this kind of end times all about? Well, this is a beautiful way of looking at it that someone told me a while back, and I just thought, it helped me a lot, and it might help you. It's instead of seeing time like that, running along, and when's the end times, and blah, blah, blah. How about this? That time's running along like this. We've got the Old Testament. We've got all these predictions that Jesus will come, the Messiah will come, and all that kind of thing. And then, boom, he comes. Jesus And it's universe changing, literally. It is the center point of the universe. Jesus becomes a human being, and he lives for us, and he dies for us, and he rises again for us. He breaks the power of death. He ascends to the Father in heaven. He pours out the Holy Spirit. And at that point, time goes like this. It's been running along chronologically, but suddenly time goes, and we are living on this borderline between now and the coming again of Jesus, which we don't know when it will be. But you know where it says the temple, the curtain in the temple was ripped in two. We just sang about it, didn't we? When Jesus died, the temple of the curtain was ripped in two. And suddenly the Holy of Holies, the place where God was, where God dwelt, where no one could go, is opened. The way is open for God to be within a hand's grasp. Which is why when Jesus came, he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You can just reach out and grasp it. And from now on, time's running like that. And the age to come is here. And, you know, here's our age. You know, we're right on this line where we can reach through to the kingdom of heaven, which is at hand, Jesus says. And we can grab a bit of the kingdom of heaven through prayer, through love, through acts of service, through worship. And we can know that Jesus is with us. We are right on the line, brothers and sisters, between this age and the next. Isn't that a lovely way of looking at it? And you know, Jesus will come at some point, but all along this line, since his death and resurrection, that's the age in which we live. These are the last days. We live in the last, we've been living in the last days since Jesus was born and died and rose again. Another way of looking at it that you might find helpful, so time doing that suddenly, and we're right on the border, and we can just reach out. Kingdom of heaven is at hand. Another way is, who likes Venn diagrams? Very brave for sticking your hand up. Well done, Steve. Yeah. So a Venn diagram is one of those overlapping kind of ovals, usually we do, or circles, whatever. And we could say, this is another way of looking at it, here's the current age, the present age, the age we live in, you and me. And here's the age to come where everything's put right. And, you know, heaven, heaven on earth, or heaven and earth come back, you know, the new Jerusalem's come down, blah, 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 all that, yeah? So there's heaven, there's us. Well, since Jesus died and rose again, they're overlapping like that. And we live in the overlap of the ages. We've got a bit of heaven, but we're not fully in heaven. Anyone fully in heaven? Come and see me afterwards. Tell me how to get there. Well, I know how to get there. But, we're not fully in heaven, but we know a bit of heaven now in our age, don't we? We're living in this age, and we're living in the overlap of the age to come, and this age, which overlap now in Jesus and in the Holy Spirit and in the church. So we live in the overlap of the ages, and we see some good things. We see healings. We see kind of breakthroughs, if you like, of the kingdom. It's another way of looking at it. And these are the last times. Does that make sense? You all right with that? Just to talk about that expression, the last days, I'll just bring up my notes for that. There is a last day. There will be a day when Jesus comes. All right? And Jesus says very clearly, you know, in various texts like John 6:40, this is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. There will be a last day where, you know, he raises everyone up that's died before. Peter, in 1 Peter 1, verses 4 and 5, talks about an inheritance which is kept in heaven for you and me. And you who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last day, or the last time, in the that case. Sometimes it's the last day, sometimes it's the last time. Ready to be revealed in the last time. So there will be a last day. But do you remember on the day of Pentecost, when Peter is preaching, what does he say? In, you know, the Holy Spirit's been poured out and people are going, are you guys drunk? And they're like, no, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this, he says, is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And this is what you see in here, Peter says. In the last days, couldn't be clearer than that. These are the last days, Peter is saying. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and daughters will prophesy, and old men will see dreams, have dreams, you know, so young visions. So if you've had a dream or a vision, you know whether you're old or young. Not really. But yeah, you know, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And that's what he's done. He says, this is what you see in here. So these are the last days. There will be a last day, but we're in the last days. Is that all right? Happy to be in the last days? The last days, which have been since Jesus' death and resurrection, and last until he comes again. And we don't know when that will be. But we need to live. And that's just the last verse, really, from our reading this morning. And I'll kind of finish with this and one other verse. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. You'll gain your souls by your endurance. So what are we to do in these last days? We live in the last days. Well, we've got to endure. Yeah. And that word in Greek is hupomone, which means to remain under, to stand up under, or to remain under, to be firm, to be, you know, there's a pressure, there's a weight. Anyone feel the pressure and the weight of living in these times? Yeah. It's a heavy time in which to live. I mean, it always is. you know, there have been heavy times before. But we can remain under them. We can stand up under them because Jesus is with us, you know, and he gives us the strength to do that. And because the curtain has been torn in two by the death of Jesus, and he's broken the power of death by his resurrection. And now we can just reach out to the kingdom of God, which is at hand. And we can live in the light and the love of the presence of Jesus with us now. And remain. We can stand up under these times. And we can endure. I love this area and I love the people in this area, eh? I just want to see people come to know the Lord. And the way that people are going to come to know the Lord is through you and me. It's through us, the people of God. And it's through, believe it or not, our lives, the way we live. Again and again throughout history, it's when Christians live as followers of Jesus, as different. You know, when they love, when they serve, which is what we do. You know, when we give food to those who need it, when we show hospitality and welcome to people, to strangers, when we listen to people's griefs, when we speak well, which is hard to do, but when we speak well of people and don't grumble and, you know, all those kinds of things, where it matters how we live. It really matters. When we pray, when we live prayerfully, I remember talking to someone just down the road who doesn't come to church or anything, just the other day. And I just had this sense that the kingdom of heaven is at hand as I was talking to them. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I just felt like I could almost see the line, you know, I could feel the presence of God. And I was talking to this person and that's what I want, us, you and me, to be like in this world. How we live is really important. Getting rid of some of the silly things that we need to get rid of is worth it. Because in that way, we give more of a chance for God to shine through us. So let's live like that, eh?
Let's live and let's endure through these times. Let's stand up under these times. And let's live as people who can reach out, and the kingdom of God is just right there. I think I will finish there. I was going to say another verse, but I won't. So let's just pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you that we live in the last days, in the end times. We thank you that you are with us. We thank you that that means that the kingdom of God is at hand. And we thank you that that means that you are with us by the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that that means that you give us the grace, the power, the energy, and everything we need to live under the weight of these times, under the pressure of these times, and to endure. And we pray that where any of us is flagging as feeling just exhausted from trying to endure, trying to remain, Lord, would you lift us up this morning? Lift us up in our souls, in our spirits, in our hearts, in our minds, in our bodies, by your Spirit. And let us know that you are with us always, even to the very end of the age. We thank you that you are, Jesus, with us. And we thank you that we don't stand alone, but that we stand together as brothers and sisters, as your body, the body of Christ, the church. We just pray, Jesus, that where we spot, you know, a brother or a sister who just needs a little bit of encouragement, that you would give us the grace to do that, and that we would encourage one another, pray for one another, build one another up. And we pray, most of all, that we would shine your light in this world, and that we would bring the light and the hope and the love of God that we've found in you, Jesus. We'd bring that to the people that we live and work amongst. Jesus, we pray that you would give us grace to live lives that proclaim your glory and to speak words that do the same. And we ask these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen. 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 Bless you.